2 years ago, Miguel Malo, a Hostos Community College student, was arrested and beaten for holding a sign at a rally protesting against immigrant tuition hikes. 2 years later, this past March, the Hunter Three of the Books Not Bombs Coalition from Hunter College were arrested at an anti-war protest in Times Square. Next week, the four defendants from the two events will appear in court, in two different courts in Manhattan and in the Bronx. And here to clarify what will be happening with this case is CUNY lawyer Ron McGuire. And we were also supposed to have students from the Revolutionary Reconstruction Club at the Bronx Community College, but they have not come here yet.
We are joined on the telephone by CUNY lawyer Ron McGuire. Welcome, Ron.
Welcome. I'm glad we're finally on the line. I just want to correct something. I am not a CUNY lawyer. I am a lawyer who represents CUNY students. I have no affiliation with CUNY.
Well, thanks for that clarification. A lawyer in solidarity with the students of CUNY. Well, Ron, we do want to get into this discussion of the two cases coming up this week. Can you talk about the background of both of these, the Books Not Bombs case and Miguel Malo?
Okay, the Books Not Bombs case is a case of three Hunter College students. And I should mention that there is a fourth defendant also who was arrested at the same demonstration. Michelle Morales is a 22-year-old professional photographer. And these four students were, the three students and Michelle went to Times Square on March 20th, which was the day the official start of the war in Iraq. And the Books Not Bombs Coalition marched peacefully from Hunter College to Times Square. There, the marches were set upon by some New York City police officers, and the three Hunter students were charged with assault on a deputy police chief. Michelle was charged with assault on a police officer. These are felony charges. They could face up to 7 years in jail if they're convicted of the charges. Now, all four will be appearing in Manhattan Criminal Court in Part F this Monday at 9:30 a.m. That's at 100 Center Street on the second floor, Part F of the Criminal Court. And at that time, prosecutor will have to either indicate whether they'll be seeking an indictment before the grand jury on felony charges, proceeding on misdemeanor charges, or whether the case will be dismissed.
Ron.
Yes.
Can you go into how this case affects, like, all CUNY students in the future, how the outcome
would
harm us or benefit us?
Well, what we've seen in February, March, April of this year were some an extreme escalation of tactics by the city police, where people protesting against the war were arrested just simply for being out on the street. There was a lot of emotion apparently among some of the officers, having to do with I guess what they would consider to be patriotism, and what we've seen is a real sense that people are not able to peaceably protest against the war with the same type of freedom that people have been able to protest for the last few decades in New York City. It's sort of a throwback to the days around the Columbia University strike in 1968, when there was the famous police riot at Columbia. I mean, in other words, it's just really outrageous that that people like the Hunter Three, these three students who just were peaceably marching, are now facing not disorderly conduct charges but felony charges. Mm-hmm. So what we're seeing, it's happening across New York City, is a lot more aggressive enforcement, a lot more overreaction by the city police in demonstration situations.
What about how this case might be relevant to people who don't identify as activists, who might not be out on the street for anti-war protests, but do value their free speech in this country?
Well, I think what we're seeing, it's really a whole climate of repression coming out of the Bush administration with the Patriot Act 1. Now we have the Patriot Act 2 on tap. And it's really a situation very reminiscent of the saying in Nazi Germany of, you know, first they came for the communists, then they came for the trade unionists, then they came for the Jews, and then who are they going to come for next? And so I think even for people who don't protest, there are people who have relatives or friends who protest. There are people who are in unions. I mean, we're in a situation now where we've in the past couple of years seen soldiers all over the streets in New York City. I would go into the subways and see these guys with their AK-47s, and frankly, I was more afraid of these frightened young soldiers with their automatic weapons, perhaps making a mistake or dropping their gun, than I was of a terrorist at that point. So, I mean, it's a situation where this is not the America that that many of us grew up in, and you know, even for example, lawyers now are being like Lynn Stewart, who is the lawyer who's represented very, very many progressive people in her career, is now facing charges where she could wind up going to jail for essentially being a lawyer. So, you know, even if someone's not demonstrating, there's a situation where they might at some point in the time need a lawyer, and their lawyer may be in jail. So this really affects everybody in society.
Well, Ron, this is Mary. How you doing? It's been
a while. Mary.
How you doing?
Fine.
Can you get into the strategies that we'll be taking for the defense concerning Miguel Malo?
Yes. Well, first, I just want to go into a little of the background of what's happening to Miguel. You said Slab said it correctly. Miguel was arrested literally for holding up a sign at a CUNY college. And what we're seeing, there is another police force in New York City, and that is the CUNY Peace Officer Corps. The CUNY Peace Officers were organized in the early 1990s as a direct result of student protests. The chancellor then wanted to replace CUNY security guards with peace officers who had the power to make arrests, the authority and license to use firearms. And effectively what they wanted to do was to create a police force that would operate on CUNY campuses so that they could actually use these police to arrest student demonstrators in situations where they would otherwise have had to call the New York City police. So what happened was Miguel was, when he was arrested, was standing with about two other students. And they had some signs and flyers which they were holding up in a public area outside the gymnasium where students were going in to register. They were basically demanding that Hostos reinstate some ESL classes that had been canceled, that Hostos, that the administration cancel fees which they had imposed on workshops that students need to take in order to prepare for exams that CUNY makes the students take. And they had several other demands. And they were peaceably holding up their signs when the peace officers threw Miguel down to the floor, arrested him, and then amazingly charged him with assaulting two of the peace officers. The top charge against Miguel could result in a year in prison if he was convicted and given the maximum sentence. And the case has been going on for over 2 years now. This is going to be his 25th court appearance on Thursday, the 25th of September. And we've been making motions to dismiss the charges on the grounds that the underlying crime here was holding up a sign. And what the prosecutors have done is they have tried to amend the complaint, to amend the charges, four different times. I have never seen four amendments to a misdemeanor complaint in my 15-year career as an attorney. And the prosecutors have apparently refused at this point to recognize the fact that the charges were, there was really no foundation to the charges to begin with. So we've made a motion which essentially says that Miguel has not been brought to trial in 2 years. It violates his constitutional right to a speedy trial. That the prosecutor by now, after 2 years, has come in with another new set of charges, with a new complaining witness, and what our position is that they really cannot start a whole new proceeding at this point in time. So what's going to happen on the 25th is we're going to be getting a decision on the motion to dismiss. If the case is not dismissed, then it will be set down for a 26th court appearance, which would most likely be a date that a trial would begin for Miguel.
Also on the 25th, Ron, we have Abraham on the line, who's also helping to organize and doing a lot of support work for Miguel Malo, a rally on the 25th. And Abraham, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. How are you doing?
Hi. Can you announce your event? Like, talk about it for a minute?
Sure. Yes. Well, many different organizations have come together in a series of actions demanding that all of the charges against Miguel Malo be dropped immediately. And the most important of these actions is coming up on the 25th of September, which is next Thursday. And it's going to be across the street from the courthouse on September 25th. At 9 in the morning, and it's going to be across from the Bronx County Criminal Court, which is at 215 East 161st Street. Now, to get there, it's the 4 train or the D train to 161st Street, which is the Yankee Stadium stop, and then you walk east a few blocks, about 3 blocks, and the Bronx County Criminal Court is 1 block east of Grand Concourse. Now, this demonstration is extremely important because the momentum has been building in the recent weeks, I would say, of people who are becoming more and more aware of how the Miguel Malo case is affecting everybody at CUNY, all the students and the faculty and the campus workers throughout CUNY, and that, you know, the trustees over the summer carried out their tuition hike basically as a stealth attack. And they're doing a lot of sort of preemptive attacks on the students at CUNY, but people are increasingly realizing that Miguel's case is connected to all of this and connected to the imperialist war, connected to racist attacks. So 7 different CUNY student government presidents have endorsed this demonstration. It's been endorsed as well by the University Student Senate of CUNY. My organization, the Hunter Internationalist Club, the Revolutionary Reconstruction Club at Bronx Community College, the other organizations like Student Liberation Action Movement, Socialist Alternative, Fighting Words, CUNY is Our Future, many other organizations, Free CUNY, CUNY for All, lots of different organizations and individuals are calling this demonstration, are co-sponsoring it, and we need to have a really big turnout. We really need to have contingents from all of the different CUNY campuses come out there on September 25th at 9 o'clock in the morning to show their support for Miguel Malo and to show that they're not going to allow the DA's office and the CUNY authorities to shut our mouths. You know, and it's basically this kind of thing is like a plague. It's like an infestation of repression that is increasing and spreading more and more from one campus to another. So it's extremely important that professors and students and campus workers and others, you don't have to be part of CUNY, obviously, to be concerned about this, because basically we're talking about the right of the working class of this city to have its daughters and sons have the basic right of education. That's what's at stake here.
Right on. That leads me to my next question. Ron.
Yes.
What do we tell the communities to get involved? Why is it important for the communities to support Miguel Malo?
Well, in the first place, CUNY is the university with the largest number of black and Latino students of any college, of any university in America. CUNY basically is the, even with the tuition increases, CUNY is still the only college that most poor working class students can afford to go to. There's really no alternative. I mean, students who can't get into CUNY, who can't make it through CUNY, are just not going to be able to afford, for the most part, to go to NYU or Columbia or Fordham or Pace, and so consequently, it's really the major institution educating most of the students coming out of New York City public schools. And consequently, you know, I mean, it's real important for the community to understand that that CUNY is literally our future, and that's exactly what students like Miguel and the students who are supporting him were fighting for. I mean, CUNY, for example, has historically been the college, the university system where immigrants came. When East European immigrants came, they were given special consideration at City College, where students were given, it was not called ESL in those days, students were required to take 4 semesters of speech, and that's where they learned English, and they got credit for it. CUNY has been the place where German immigrants, Irish immigrants, Italian immigrants, Jewish immigrants, you know, have come to basically get the skills when they couldn't be admitted to or afford to go to other colleges.
Well, let me jump in here and ask if either of you want to comment on that issue that Miguel Malo was raising about bilingual education and ESL programs and workshops throughout the CUNY system. Would either of you like to comment on what exactly has been cut, some of the things that people are losing, and some of the resources people are fighting for?
Sure. I mean, there's been a whole series of cuts. Basically, this is what you might call a kind of salami tactic. They cut one thing and then they wait and see what is the reaction going to be, you know? Ever since 1969, when open admissions was established, the ruling class has been trying to dismantle it. And first they have, you know, some tuition hikes, which is a way of purging particularly poor working class and minority black, Hispanic, immigrant, and other students. Then they cut remedial programs. Then they cut back on English as a second language programs. At Hostos, they cut back at programs in Spanish. And this is how it goes. You know, it's one thing after another. 2 years ago, shortly after the 9/11 events, a racist politician from Queens got it into his head to say that so-called national security, in other words, the interests of the rulers of the country, had revealed to him all of a sudden that the presence of what he, in his racist vocabulary, called illegal aliens, in other words, undocumented students, undocumented immigrant students, that their presence at CUNY was what he called a national security risk. And, of course, what we say is those little pieces of paper don't mean a damn thing, and that there should be full citizenship rights for all immigrants, and that we are absolutely opposed to this kind of discrimination, this kind of racism. But the CUNY administration saw an opportunity for yet another rollback and yet another cut and yet another purge. And so they launched what we called an anti-immigrant war purge, and they doubled the tuition for the undocumented immigrant students. They said, we're going to charge you the out-of-state tuition, no matter whether you've been here in this city for years. I had one friend who had been here since he was 7 years old, and he and his two cousins were being forced out of school. And this was an example of the direct connection between this kind of racist attack and the war drive being carried out by the government and by the capitalist class. And so what we did was to organize protests, starting with a rally at Hunter College, which was initiated by the internationalist group and which was joined by many other groups, including some immigrant workers groups. And this was a big struggle which resulted in the partial rolling back of that tuition hike for the undocumented immigrant students. But we said that that attack on the undocumented immigrants was just the opening wedge for an attack on all students. And soon enough, well, you know, Governor Pataki, joined by various of the his Democratic confreres, you know, made a big photo opportunity where they said, well, we're going to sign a law which graciously gives the undocumented students, or some of them, the right to pay the same high tuition as everybody else.
Hey, Brian, sorry I have to interrupt.
Sure.
Yeah, we got to wrap this up.
Oh, sure.
I just want to give a shout-out to Joshua, who recorded a lot of audio at the forum for Miguel Malo. I'm still working on that, Joshua, if you're listening. I know you're listening.
information for people if they want to show up? Where can they show up?
Definitely. Talk about the case for the Hunter 3 and Miguel Malo, when it's happening and where and how to get there.
Okay. Well, the Hunter 3 will be appearing in court on this Monday, the 22nd of September, and it's going to be at 100 Center Street in Manhattan on the second floor at Part F at 9:30 in the morning. People who want to, the court is open to the public. People who want to be there by 9:30 should probably arrive no later than 9, because there are very long lines at 100 Center Street by the metal detectors. For Miguel Malo, the appearance in court is going to be at 9:30 a.m., but it's going to be at a different court.
It's related to our community.
Excuse me?
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
It's going to be at the Bronx County Criminal Court, and that's at 9:30 a.m. It's going to be on September 25th. That's next Thursday. And it's going to be in the basement of the criminal court building, Part TAP, T-A-P-1. As Abram had said, the criminal court in the Bronx is at 215 East 161st Street. That's one block east of the Grand Concourse. And the nearest subway station is the 161st Street station on the 4 or the D trains.
Right on.
Mentioned there's going to be a rally.
Definitely.
Yes, Lab, if I could just mention on the rally, people that want to come to the rally and help out, if I could mention that this rally has also been endorsed by the Hostos Student Government Organization and by the president and vice president of student government there, as well as quite a few other people at Hostos. And we need to show our support and our defense of them, because we can't let them be shut down and locked down like some kind of little police state up there. So people should show up at 9 o'clock for the demonstration across from the Bronx County Criminal Court at 215 East 161st Street this Thursday, September 25th. Be there at 9 a.m. sharp. If you want more information on how to help out, how to organize, materials, we have some good stickers about this with Miguel's picture. We have cards. We've got leaflets. Call 212-460-0983.
Okay, repeat that number one more time, and then we have to go.
Sure thing. 212-460-0983.
Okay, thank you, Abraham. Thank you, Ron McGuire, so much.
Thank you.